Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We are going to attempt to make KJR history. Day one of the EQC Note Contest, and we have an opportunity here to go 10 for 10 on the radio station so far. All we need is for Benjamin Weldon of Bainbridge to comply.
Come on, Benjamin.
Come on, Benny boy.
Don't screw this up for us.
5 minutes. You got 5 minutes. Give him 5 minutes, Jackson. On the clock. Benjamin Weldon of Bainbridge, 286-9595. Benjamin, 286-9595. You got 5 minutes to call back and claim your $100, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino. If he does, it's 10 for 10. If he doesn't, then somebody will have a chance to win $200 at 5 o'clock in the EQ C-Note Contest right here on 950 KJR.
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls. Headlines are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com and our friends at Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
By the way, we are 10 for 10. Benjamin Weldon has already called back. He was calling back as the last name Weldon was leaving my mouth.
18 seconds, gentlemen.
I love
18
it.
18 seconds.
I love it. That is a new EQC note record right here on
here.
The Softy and Dick Show. So congrats to Benjamin Weldon. You can start texting in your first and last name in the city you're from right now to 49451, and we'll announce another winner for another $100 at 5 o'clock right here, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino. Where do you want to start? We got NBA basketball galore tonight, by the way. Denver at Portland. The Nuggets are up 3-2. That game is getting underway at 5 o'clock. Phoenix and the Lakers. The Suns up 3-2. Looking to close out LeBron at 7:30 tonight in L.A.
Portland Timbers are opening up Providence Park to 80% capacity, but if you are not vaccinated, you are out. Proof of vaccination will be required for anyone 16 or over.
What do we got? Mariners lose 6-0 yesterday. Chris Flexen, 6 innings, 5 runs. M's now 28-29. Head to L.A., Anaheim, for 4 games tonight against the Angels. Justice Sheffield versus Griffin Canning tonight.
Deshaun Watson was not on the field today for day one of the Texans OTAs. The team has not released info on whether he is at the facility working out or not. He faces 22 civil lawsuits accusing him of sexual assault and misconduct.
And the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs continue tonight. Eastern Conference second round game 3. Bruins Islanders tied at 1. They'll drop the puck at 4:30. And Carolina and Tampa, with the Lightning looking for the 3-0 lead on Carolina. They face off at 5 p.m. tonight from Tampa Bay. We're going to talk to Chuck Powell in a matter of minutes. Getting a lot of texts at 49451 on the situation with Julio Jones. Makes sense, not makes sense for the Hawks to go after a guy like that. Hoping to hear more as the day goes by and the week goes by the way, as well, on Kyle Lewis and his injury. Jerry DePoto giving a interview today where it did not sound good at all for Kyle Lewis's prospects coming off that meniscus tear. Like we said yesterday, anytime you hear about a guy going for a second opinion, that means he was not a fan of the first opinion. And can you imagine Kyle Lewis going to a doctor and the guy says, you know what, you don't even need surgery. You can play tonight in L.A. You know what?
I'm going to get a second opinion.
I'm going to go see if somebody else agrees with that. So we got that going on. We're asking people on the Twitter account at SoftyKJR, what do you want first, a Kraken Stanley Cup championship or a Mariners World Series title?
Update on the poll.
So far, almost 1,500 votes in. It's a no contest. Surprising a little bit.
It's surprising in no contest.
75%,
yes.
The M's are kicking their butt, considering how bad the PR is with the Mariners right now and how skeptical and pessimistic people are about the Mariners. This surprises me.
Well, but you're giving them an opportunity to end all that by having a championship, and all they have to do is vote for that in your poll, and poof, yep, all the negativity is gone. The 45 years of frustration is over, yeah, because you're, yeah, giving them the opportunity to hit a button and win a title for the Mariners versus hitting a button and winning a title, yeah, for the team they have never, ever seen play before and have really no attachment to yet. So yeah, I kind of get it. I am surprised, as you are, that it's so one-sided, though.
Actually, a great idea that you just stumbled upon, by the way. You don't even know it.
I stumble on lots.
Well, is it possible? Let's say they win it right now in 2021, which they won't. But if they do, you think Dave Niehaus, at any point in time during his broadcast career, said 40 on the air? You ever think he said 5 on the air? About whatever those years are, we splice them together, and we have,
sure,
Dave Niehaus. 55 years of frustration is over. All right, here we go.
That.
Joining us right now on the radio program. He's a big-time baseball fan, loves the Mariners, loves the game, but for some reason just wants to trade every good player the Mariners have and just go with prospects every single year. Because that's just the way he rolls, man. Chuck Powell, our morning show host, is with us here on the radio station. How are you?
By the way, you did not set the record this morning. The amazing Kreskin called 13 seconds before we announced his name for the EQC note. So the record is 13 seconds before the announcement was made for a quick reaction to the
EQC note. But you don't know something. We turned off the 7-second delay for the radio station.
Oh.
So actually it was 11 seconds. Yeah. So you lose.
The amazing Kreskin, though. So he knows his name is going to be called before it's even called.
Yeah,
so that's not fair.
He's amazing. Does he wear a turban to this guy, by the way?
Doesn't go anywhere
he's a
without soothsayer. A turban.
Yeah.
I love it. Wait, why do you want to trade Mitch Haniger? He's the best player the Mariners have. He's a great player. Yeah, but before the season started, you didn't know that Mitch Haniger would be killing the ball the way he is now. What's your problem, man?
It's not only I don't want to. I like Mitch Haniger, but this has worked out well for me. This is exactly what I was kind of hoping would happen, that he would return to all-star form and you would be able to move him before the trading deadline for pieces that you'll need when you're actually ready to contend and compete. So, yeah, I think that this has actually worked out well, and I don't know why you guys and everybody else is so bothered by the idea of trading a 31-year-old one-time all-star when his value is at its max level. I mean, there are other teams in the league who are contending for a world title this year that are going to value him right now more than you do in the midst of a 70-win season. So you got to get pieces for him now that are going to help you when you want to contend in a year or two.
Well, listen here, pal. Don't lump me with you guys, because I don't have a problem trading Mitch Haniger. I'm just worried that, you know, Mitch Haniger is a known quantity, and getting a couple of pieces, you know, one of those pieces is probably going to turn out to be a turd sandwich, and the other piece might turn out to be a 250 hitter with a 700 OPS. And so, I mean, are they
really
going to get
John
better?
Smoltz. I mean, John Smoltz got traded. Doyle Alexander, and John Smoltz ended up being a Hall of Famer.
Do you have any references from this century, brother?
That's the century, though, we know, though, is the John Smoltz era. We're actually familiar with that trade.
All right, well, I mean, you want to go with something? Gleyber Torres? I mean, does he contribute to the New York Yankees? I mean, do you want me to go through the entire trading deadline last year? I mean, Joe Musgrove? Garrett Cole? I mean, almost everybody at some point. Mitch Haniger was traded as a prospect in a deal.
Yeah.
I mean, people forget about that. That Ketel Marte, Taijuan Walker for Segura and
great
Haniger.
Move.
Haniger was the it wasn't a great move. Ketel Marte's the best piece in that trade. But Mitch Haniger comes over, and he's the best part of that trade for the Mariners. And so he was the prospect in the deal. So they actually do work out. I get that they fall as well, but the mode that you're in, guys, the mode that you're in, we're in a rebuild. We're in year number 3. The record is improving every season. I realize that it looks like we're a long way away from contending for anything. But the mode that you're in, you don't speed ahead and abandon what you've been working for. Why did we suffer through all of this if people just want to re-sign a 31-year-old one-time all-star with an injury history and build around him? You move a piece like Haniger. This is trade deadline 101 stuff. You trade guys that aren't going to help you win. you know, now, because you're not worried about winning now, to teams that value that guy now, and they'll give up pieces that they're not going to worry about having in the future because they're trying to win now. It's just what you're going to have to do, and I'll almost bet you guys, I don't know what kind of wager you want to put on this, Jerry's going to trade him. So if you guys want to put something down on this, I'm happy to do it. But the direction that this season is heading, and considering all the math that you can do on this, I mean, right now, Major League Baseball TradeRumors.com came out with its top 40 prospects who could be moved by the deadline. He's number three most likely. Number three behind two Colorado Rockies, and they're already out of it. So everybody nationally is expecting this thing to go down. I'm expecting it to go down, and it's not because I don't like Mitch Haniger. I really like Mitch Haniger. It's just this is the move that you make when you're in a rebuild.
All right, I'll make you a deal. If it happens, we get Bucky, you get Jackson Feltz. How's that sound? We'll just swap. Okay, okay? Deal? Done?
Deal.
And $500 on the side between the two of us. Chuck Powell, listen, I realize you're cranky. Don't take that on us, first of all. It's not our fault. And then number two, I guess, isn't the question really, you know what, you should apologize. Isn't the question really how far away are these guys from contending? Because what I'm hearing from you is that you still think this is maybe 2.5-3 years away from really developing into something that's going to result in a playoff team. If they can win next year or even get it together by the end of this year, why would you want to move Haniger?
Because it's the right thing to do. Because when, all right, I'm going to walk you guys through something, and I'm going to be quick with this. I promise I'm going to be quick with this. But you go ahead and you name a team, a successful team in the last decade, not the Los Angeles Dodgers, New York Yankees, or New York Yankees, because they operate at a financial level that we're never going to match. So what's a successful team in the last 10 years?
Astros.
The Astros. Yeah. Okay, I'm glad you brought up the Astros.
Just feeding right into your argument there.
They are the picture of the rebuild of the modern era. They were hailed by Sports Illustrated as geniuses for the rebuild. They put their fans through something a lot worse than what Jerry's put the Mariner fans through in their rebuild. They won 56 and 55 and 51 games in back-to-back-to-back seasons. Those are 162-game scheduled seasons, by the way. That's not COVID, okay? So they suffered like nobody else has suffered, all right? But they were going to do it the right way. They were bound and determined to do it the right way. We're going to build through the farm system, and then when we're ready to compete, then we're going to add through trades and through free agencies. So you take Houston's example, you take the Cubs' example, you take the Atlanta Braves. They haven't won a World Series, but they've turned themselves into a perennial division champion. The Kansas City Royals, you know, you name the team in the last decade that has had success at the highest level, not name the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they have built through the farm system. And guys, every single one of those teams, when they got to 70 wins,
with Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
The very next season, Houston went from 70 to 86. The Cubs went from 73 to 97. In one off season. The Braves went from 72 to 90. Kansas City went from 72 to 86. When you build through the farm system and you build it the right way and you get the necessary talent and then you add the pieces when you're ready to compete, which the Mariners have failed to do to this point, it can happen really fast.
I have a question, though, okay? And you're making great points about building through the farm system. Isn't that, for the most part, though, what they are doing? Does every single player on the roster have to be a prospect? Does every single player have to come from the farm system? Why can't you keep Mitch Haniger, offer him a team-friendly deal right now, buyout arbitration, which you did for a guy named Alex Rodriguez back in the day, by the way. Why not keep Haniger and also build with prospects at the same time?
Because you have an opportunity to move a guy for a couple more. Why not do this, Softy? Why not trade him, get two prospects, then sign a bat that's actually better than Mitch Haniger, that's more proven, that's more consistent, that's better this offseason? And so now you get the two prospects for Haniger that can contribute not just next year, but for the next 7 years, maybe 10 years. Then you get a free agent or two this offseason. And believe me, I've been banging the drum for them to spend in free agency the last two offseasons. I wanted them to get JT Realmuto, and I wanted them to get to Anthony Rendon 2 years ago. And they could have done it. The Padres have done it. They spent before they were ready to win. The Mariners could have done it. They didn't do it. I'm angry with them about it, but they didn't do it. But you now have an opportunity to move Haniger, get two prospects this year, sign a free agent or two to replace that bat, and then Mitch Haniger's a free agent in a year and a half. You can sign him back if you miss him so much.
Let's take a look at the optics of this, because Corey Brock just came out with an article today saying June is going to be a month where the Mariners are going to make a move. And not a trade, but they're going to have a positive month. That was his point. Well, they're one game under 500 right now. If Corey's right, and they have a positive month, and they go, you know, they're four games over at the end of June, and right now 89 wins makes the playoffs statistically. 89.1 win makes the playoffs right now, and they're sitting there 2.5 games out of the wild card. What do the optics look like if they trade Mitch Haniger for a couple guys we've never heard of?
Well, I know I'm angry. I'm sorry for being angry.
But you know what? I'm off at 7. I'll be there with a hug by 7:30. All right?
But as angry as I sound, this is not like, this is just reasonable talk. If I have said throughout the entire process, this is a very simple equation. If you're in it, you keep him. Because, by the way, you've got his rights for another year after this. Mm-hmm. So you could trade him in the offseason. You know, you could trade him next year if you're not contending at the trading deadline, which I think they could contend by the trading deadline of next year. So if you're in it, then you keep him. If you're not in it, then you trade him.
Okay.
That's as clear cut as it gets. Again, this is trade deadline 101 stuff, and people just need to be ready for it. And I like him too, but these are the kind of things that you do to finish off the rebuild. And I want this to be the last, guys. I want this to be the last trading deadline that you guys experience the Mariners selling on for 2 decades. And I think that there is a chance that this could be a really exciting decade of baseball ahead for the Seattle Mariners. But we got to get through this ugliness. Have you guys ever grown out your hair at any point?
Oh, yeah.
And there are some ugly periods in that. And then all of a sudden, one day, you're like, oh, man, this actually looks pretty good. I'm glad I didn't abandon when it looked awful, you know, 6 months ago, because now I kind of like it. Well, that's kind of what you got to go through with this. There's going to be some pain and suffering that's going to take place this year and probably a little bit more next year. But I'm telling you, this thing is on the right track. And as painful as it sounds, the Haniger piece is like the last piece of a rebuild before you are now ready to push your more of your chips into the middle of the table. Let's go and buy this offseason. Let's show up next year at spring training actually believing that if things fall the right way, we're going to make the playoffs next year.
Well, let me just say this, that I'm Jewish and tried to grow a fro when I was 12 years old, and at no point did that even look remotely good. It was awful the entire time. And I'm glad I never did it again. Chuck Powell, by the way, is with us on the air. And look, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, it certainly makes sense. And hopefully the Mariners are in it and they don't move him. You know, you talk about this being the last deadline where they're sellers. Hopefully that's already come and gone, because maybe they're 10 games over 500 by July 31st this year and they're not selling anybody. Maybe they're acquiring people. They have no payroll. They should be able to go out and spend $50 million at the deadline if they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it should be a bonanza offseason. I'm telling you, I'm going to be there criticizing them louder than anybody if they don't spend this offseason, and I'm not entirely convinced they're going to. I think if Jerry was in charge, they would have already started spending. I think John Stanton has been in the way of this. And so, look, I realize that I'm coming off as a cheerleader, which has never happened to me in my entire career. I just believe in this rebuild, and I think that it's going better than I even anticipated. But I will be there to torch them this offseason, like I have the last two offseasons for not spending, but there is no excuse going into this offseason for not spending. And I've been told, don't worry about it. It's going to happen. But until we see it, until we see it, I'm with you. I do have some reservations. I do have some doubts.
Yeah.
But if they don't, then pile on them, because you've got to build through the farm system and finish in free agency and trades.
Well, if there's anybody out there who knows how to pile on the Mariners, it's us. We are veterans at that. Dick, can you imagine John Stanton going into a meeting and saying, you know what, we got to make a move. We have to make a move. We have to spend money. If we don't, Chuck Powell's going to torch us,
that's
man.
Right.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
have to start making
Shaking
moves.
In his boots.
All right, man. Good stuff. Enjoy the evening,
thanks,
and we'll hear you tomorrow at 6 a.m.
All right. I'll be more. I'll be kinder next time.
Yeah, you know, just smile.
A lot more lighthearted.
Come on.
Sorry about that.
All right.
That.
Good stuff from Chuck Powell. Let's come back and discuss what we heard from him next on Softy and Dick.
In one app.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Huskies and the Kraken. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Hey, let's go around the room real quick. Claim to fame. Anything. Anything that you think somebody else would hear and say, wow, that's pretty cool. Claim to fame. Jackson, go. What is it?
I've had a weekly interview with a Seattle pro sports team general manager for four straight years. that's as good as I got. Because that's
come on, man!
That's as good as I don't got much, guys. I don't got much.
Okay. In the soccer world?
That's a big thing in the soccer world.
Yes. Yeah. In the world that you live in,
which
right?
is my all that matters to
okay.
me. Okay. Yeah.
Dorktown, right? Soccer geeks, Dungeons and Dragons, Dave Clark,
hey,
whatever.
Don't diss on Dungeons
guys
and Dragons.
Guys like that, okay, all that.
Jeez.
Which I could not figure any of that stuff out, by the way. Your claim to fame is a weekly conversation. You get to talk to Garth Lagerwey whenever you damn well please.
Yeah.
Claim to fame.
I love him.
Gotcha. Dick, claim to fame.
So something that people probably wouldn't know about me?
Yeah, something that you think, well, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
1991 state swim champion.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
In Washington State.
I don't think I was ever in any other
what
state.
What state are we talking about here? Okay. Yeah, what is that 4A, 3A? What
that,
level
is that? At the time, it was... See, everything... There was no 4A then. So it was 2A.
2A state swim champion Dick Fain. Had no idea. Okay. I once played Bellevue Boys Club House League basketball against Mark Pope, who is now the head coach at BYU, right?
Yeah.
Played at Washington. And
did
I
you dunk on him?
I did, twice, actually. and I played baseball against Todd Hollinsworth, who was the 1995 National League Rookie of the Year when he was at Newport High School and I was at Bellevue.
They ran the wishbone.
Yes. The guy who's going to join us at 5:05 has a lot of things he can say for his claim to fame, because the guy played in the NBA, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But to be walking around... And to be able to say to somebody, hey, by the way, did you know that my poster was on Michael Jordan's dorm room wall when
that's
he
like
was
the best,
in
dude.
College?
I mean, like, you can't get better than that.
Is there anything more badass than that?
No.
Marcus Johnson, if Marcus Johnson ever wanted to go like on a date, and I don't know if he's married, single, or I have no idea if he's even looking, right? But if Marcus Johnson wanted to get himself back out there and jump on Tinder or TikTok or whatever, Tuber, whatever it's called now. Hi, my name's Marcus, and my poster was on Michael Jordan's dorm room wall when he was a student at North Carolina. Boom! That's it.
Winner.
That is the winner. There's nobody else
no
that can even
doubt.
Step up and offer anything that would even remotely match that. That guy's going to join us at 5:05.
You know, that's a good idea for a first date where you don't... So you're giving the other person the opportunity to brag.
Yep.
Without listening to them bragging about themselves for a half an hour. You just say, first thing off, give me the coolest thing about you. Like, claim to fame, drop it on us. And Jackson Fels would say, I got a show with Garth Lagerwey.
That's right.
Hey, if it's a soccer girl.
Hey, I won the spaghetti eating contest when I was 11 years old at the Captain Fantastic Fair at Factoria Mall back in the day. So there you go. Got a trophy with fake spaghetti and everything, man. And puke for about a week after that whole thing was over. Anyway, Marcus Johnson will join us at 5:05 tonight on the radio show. 25 years ago yesterday, Game 7 Conference Finals against Utah If you missed the little Calabro montage that Jackson put together on the radio show yesterday, check it out because it's flipping awesome, and it's on the website right now at sportsradiokjr.com. So did Chuck Powell convince all of us that the Mariners not only should trade Mitch Haniger, but that they will trade Mitch Haniger at the deadline?
I think I was pretty much in his camp. I just don't want to trade Mitch Haniger for trade's sake. You know what I mean? Like, I want to get somebody for Mitch Haniger that all the people that are a lot smarter than me about baseball prospects say, no, this guy is like 6 months away from being ready to contribute to your lineup. And I don't want to trade Mitch Haniger for two double A guys that are like the sixth ranked prospect in somebody's farm system that may or may not be good in 2024.
Right.
That's what I don't want to trade Mitch Haniger for, because if you're going to do that, give me three or four more years of Mitch Haniger and I'll just take his 750 OPS and his good defense.
Well, and if you can re-sign him, which I don't know why you couldn't re-sign him.
You got all the money in the world.
Well, and if you signed him right now, you're buying out arbitration. You don't need to sign him. You could wait till arbitration's over and then offer the guy a contract. But this is a guy who was banged up beyond belief a year ago, right? In a lot of different ways. So I think to go to him right now and say, hey, look, you've been working towards this guaranteed deal, this long-term deal for a while now. You got one more year left of arbitration. Let's just offer you 3 years, $45 million. Call it a day. Whatever. Move on. You're done. $15 million a year, which in baseball these days is nothing. It's $5 million less than Kyle Seager makes, for God's sake. So go out and do something like that. I think he would say yes. I think this. I don't have any problem trading anybody on this roster as long as you get better the day you make the deal. I don't think trading Mitch Haniger makes you better the day you make the deal. It might make you better 2 or 3 years down the road.
See, I don't want that.
Or it might make you worse.
I want to make you better 6 months down the road.
Agreed.
I don't want to make you better 3 years down the road. And that's exactly right.
And like we said to Chuck last segment, hey, look, he's laying out some very lucid arguments. He's making a lot of sense, which is a rarity for him. It's about time it actually happened. I don't blame the guy. He's up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day. I'd go nuts too if I were him. But I think this, I think you can do both. I think you can pile up prospects at the same time and also give yourself a sure thing that will help those players develop into the stars you want them to be. I mean, the Mariners have the number three ranked farm system in baseball right now. How many prospects do you need? Honestly, at some point you need these prospects or the players on your big club to start producing at this level. And you have a guy who's producing at this level in Mitch Haniger. All right. I don't need to trade Mitch Haniger for prospects because I know Mitch Haniger is producing. Now, obviously people would feel differently about it if he was 24 versus 30, but he's also a young 30. He won't be 31 until December, by the way. So I think 30 is like the new 28 in baseball. Guys are playing longer. They're making more money longer. They're producing longer. You're seeing guys get signed to contracts that pay them, 15, 20 million bucks when they're 40 years old. I'm not saying the Mariners have to do that, but I feel very comfortable that as long as Mitch Haniger stays healthy, he's going to produce. I don't think the problem with Mitch Haniger has been talent. I think it's just been bad luck.
It has been bad. And see, that's the key word is luck. And Chuck called him injury prone. And I am actually going to agree for once with Slickhawk.
He got hit in the nuts.
Who had a Twitter battle with Chuck today on this. He's not injury prone. He got hit with a fastball in the boys.
Exactly.
And that caused this injury and that injury and this injury. It all stemmed from getting hit in the boys with a fastball.
You ever seen a ruptured testicle, by the way? Huh?
It like unravels, right?
Have you seen one?
No, I haven't seen
one. You ever had a pot sticker?
Yeah.
Then you've seen one, okay? It's disgusting.
Dude, you've just destroyed the remaining of part of my life where I eat pot stickers.
I actually looked it up when he ruptured his testicle. I went to Google Images, and I looked it up because I wanted to feel the pain that Mitch Haniger was feeling as best I could to have some empathy. I wanted to know what he was going through. It is the worst thing I have ever seen in my life, and I've seen some pretty disgusting stuff. You want to know what Mitch Haniger went through? go to Google Images and go find yourself a ruptured testicle. And you tell me if Mitch Haniger is injury prone or if he just had a horrific accident that totally knocked him off his freaking axis. That's what happened. Exactly what happened.
I was going to have Chinese food tonight, too.
Well, listen, you can go with the steamed pot sticker versus the fried pot sticker, and it's a totally different animal. I prefer fried, to be honest with you, versus steamed. I don't know why somebody would go steamed unless they had to. But the point, Dick, is that this guy had a freak accident.
Yes.
An absolute freak accident.
And he was killing it before that.
Look, I hate doing this. I know you hate doing it, too, because the guy's got a big enough ego as it is. But Slick Hawk is right.
Slick Hawk is right about
this.
He's right about this.
He's wrong about everything else he says.
Every Seahawks take Slick Hawk has. He's wrong, but he's right about this one. And, I don't want to trade him for potential. I want to trade him for somebody that is just literally ready to go almost at that moment.
Well, your take about, what if they're 10 games over 500 and they trade the guy? I mean, people are going to go nuts. They're going to lose.
Be like, are you serious?
What are we doing here? And this is you've been doing this for 3 years, losing 5 years, whatever it is now, losing on purpose thing, and all of a sudden now you have a shot. I don't expect that to be the case.
I don't think
they're going to be 10 games over 500. But I think all of this, the one thing Chuck said, I totally agree with is, hey, look, you don't need to make a decision right now. Mm-hmm. It's June the 3rd. Okay, the longer you wait, the more teams think they're in a playoff hunt, and you might be able to drive up the price and have a bidding war for Mitch Haniger. And you also might, how about this for a novel idea, wake up and find yourself in playoff contention and want to keep the guy, for God's sake. So 439, all right, let's get some thoughts on this. 49451, testimonials. Mitch Haniger, is he a guy that you would look to move right now? Or would you look to maybe extend him and hang on to him? Where are you at with the Mitch Haniger deal? And then we threw up a poll on Twitter, by the way.
Update on the poll.
Asking people, you can only have one. Which one do you want first? Which one do you want to happen first? The Kraken win the Stanley Cup or the M's win the World Series? 49451.
BJR.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
Hey, by the way, I'll tell you what this is at 5 o'clock after we announce the EQC note winning name for the 4 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. But the Pac-12 did something before the SEC.
You don't say.
How about that? I'll explain what that is at 5 o'clock tonight. Pigs are flying. The SEC just did something that was already done by the Pac-12. Amazing. It can happen.
I have no idea what you're talking about, so this is interesting.
You'll find out. Good. Stay off Twitter, and it'll be a surprise by 5 o'clock tonight. All right, 49451, testimonials on the Coors Seltzer text line. Jackson, what do you got?
I want and I need a World Series title way before Lord Stanley's Cup.
Mm.
42 years young and am not getting any younger.
So I asked on Twitter, what do you want to see first, the Kraken win the Cup or the M's win the World Series championship? And so far, the M's are winning it going away. But our buddy Tim Brackey at Fishy Players on Twitter says, I want whoever reaches it first. Okay, the question is, which one of them do you want to win it first? Which one would you... Basically, the question becomes, are you more desiring of a Mariners World Series title... Or a Kraken Stanley Cup. End of story. Yeah. And so far, by a 3-1 margin, the Mariners are winning going away, which is surprising.
It is a bit surprising, although the pain and suffering that we have all gone through for four decades in this town, if you're old enough to go through four decades of suffering like you and I are, it will be assuaged with a championship. We have gone through no suffering for the Seattle Kraken. Therefore, I think the pain that gets to go away with it is worth a lot.
Well, I got to be honest with you, man. I do have to correct you on one thing, and I'm I didn't bring this up earlier about the pain and suffering with the hockey team. We've been waiting 104 years for a Stanley Cup title in the city of Seattle.
It's a long time.
It was 1917, Dick. How long do we have to wait?
The Kraken. Baseball is boring AF.
Baseball's boring AF. What does AF stand for, Jackson?
Release the Kraken.
Any idea?
As
I got you. Well, a lot of folks think baseball's boring these days, and I believe
it wouldn't be boring if we were in the World Series, though. I guarantee it would not you that.
It would not be boring at all. It would not be boring if they were winning games. If you were a San Francisco Giants fan and you've been to the World Series three times in the last decade
and won them,
you think KNBR is getting texts like that? That baseball's boring?
No.
You think those texts go into KMOX in St. Louis that baseball's boring? Now, maybe some folks think that. And baseball obviously agrees that there are a significant number of people who believe that. Because they're changing the game.
Yes, and even in places like that, even in places like San Diego and Los Angeles where their teams are thriving, I still think a majority of fans would say baseball is more boring today than it's ever been if you just take out the success of those individual teams.
I would say that baseball is way more boring when your team sucks.
Of course.
Like back in the day, it didn't matter. You can watch it, you see home runs, you're fired up. I mean, maybe most of that had to do with the fact that we were 10 years old, not 47. But I think everything's more boring when your team's terrible. Everything, no matter what sport.
I saw an amazing stat that you're not going to join us for Stats or for Losers.
Is this just Stats or for Losers?
You're not going to join us for Stats or for Losers. I'll just get it out right now. Remember Dave Kingman? Dave Kingman was like the poster child of the strikeout or home run, right?
Yep.
Like we would make fun of Dave Kingman when I was little playing wiffle ball because we'd shut our eyes and swing as hard as we could and see what happens. Dave Kingman now has the strikeout rate, the walk rate, and the, what do they call it, the true outcome rate, where it's either, you know, strikeout or walk or home run, of the average Major League Baseball player in 2021. Dave Kingman average player.
Unreal.
That's how far it's come.
I only have so much sports money and excitement to give. And with every new team that comes, the Mariners deserve less and less.
I think it's a great idea, by the way. Everybody should have a pile of sports money. And what's that cash over there? That's my sports money.
That's my sports money.
What's that account? That's my sports money account. Everybody, every guy or sports fan, gal, whatever, should have a sports money pile that you don't touch except to spend it on sports. And if there's nothing to spend it on for a decade, then the pile gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So one day when the Mariners do make the World Series, you have this giant pile of cash that you can access. That's a hell of an idea.
That's not a bad idea.
Great idea. Wasn't it?
I am pretty sure if Spock were a Hawks fan, he'd say it's logical they get a third receiver. But not an $11 million one like Julio Jones. How about a Joe Giravicious?
I didn't understand the first part of that. If Spock were Hawks, what?
If Spock were a Hawks fan.
If Spock, like Leonard Nimoy?
Say it was logical to get a third receiver.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, hey, look, I mean, if you had cap room to spend, right? Like you got a bunch of guys on their rookie deals and you've got $40 million and you got two hotshot receivers and the rest of the team is already pretty much set with young guys and taken care of, then have at it. But it's the epitome of a luxury item. The absolute epitome of a luxury item. When you already have two of them, you don't need a third, especially for a football team that will not be able to make the acquisition meaningful because they won't be able to get the guy the football unless they take it away from somebody else who deserves it.
If I had a boatload of money under the cap, I would have gotten Corey Linsley on day one of
How about making a trade for Gilmore? Everybody's talking about Gilmore being available from New England. I mean, dude, who honestly impacts the Seahawks' chances of winning more? Gilmore at corner or Julio Jones at wide receiver? Maybe it's Julio Jones because maybe the offense would be so unstoppable at that point it wouldn't matter what they do on defense. Let's get a break. 4:54. When we come back, we're going to read off another name in the EQC note contest for Thursday. We are 10 for 10. Looking to go 11 for 11. You got a few minutes left to text in your first and last name, the city you're from, to 49451. We'll announce another winner for $100 next on 950K.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.